This evening I would like to continue off on what I've been sharing over the past couple of weeks. I started off with the Word of God and the significance of the Word of God in our life. And I continued on hearing the voice of God. This evening I would like to share around discernment, which is more a teaching than preaching tonight. But I would like us to look at what is discernment. And we are going to try and define the word discernment by looking at three questions. And those would be, what is discernment? Why do we need discernment? And how do we get discernment? Now, discernment as a concept is actually a biblical concept. Now, I'm sure the word has been used in the world as well, as different forms to it. But the concept, the word discernment, is actually a biblical concept. But if you look in the dictionaries, concerning the definition of discernment, it simply states, it is the perception of what is obscure. The perception of what is obscure. Or discern, according to the Oxford Dictionary, is to recognize or to find out, to distinguish with difficulty by sight or with other senses. The definition of discernment according to the worldly dictionaries. Then, of course, in the world, in the workplace, in the business world, it's called intuition, it's called a gut feeling, it's called a sixth sense. There are so many words to try and describe the ability to discern beyond what is seen, beyond what is heard. I have a new friend, Dr. Malik is a well-known theologian and psychiatrist in South Africa and teaches all over the world. He says discernment is the ability to see what cannot be seen, to hear what cannot be heard. A mystery being revealed, discernment. Now the world struggles with this concept. But as a Christian, when you meet a person or come into a situation that demands action or an answer from you, but the information that is required to give an answer is limited. When you meet somebody in a conversation as a Christian, many times we are faced with that person and sometimes with the person's questions. Or decisions that we need to make when we find ourselves as a Christian in a situation facing life. And many times the information that we in the natural would require to make the right decision or come to the correct conclusion is lacking in the natural. And then we need discernment. We need discernment how to answer the question that is asked in a way that will produce life. We need discernment to make the decision in which we will walk, the direction that we will go. And that what we need to make that decision at that time is discernment. So I want us to look at that. The ability to know where the person is coming from when they ask a question. Or the ability to know the correct answer when a person comes to you for counsel or for advice. And many times you find yourself as a Christian kind of in the deep end. And as a minister, I find that often when people come to me with their questions. And all that I can pray for is, God, I need discernment. Even before I see them, I know that is what I need. So I want us to look at what this is. The ability to take action and to follow the course and to have a clear distinction of what will cause harm and what will cause good. You need to make the right interpretation and the judgment in life. And that is called discernment. Like I said earlier, the world doesn't really have hands on this ability to discern beyond the natural. And not just to discern beyond the natural, but the ability to make the right decision and to give the right answer. Even though that what is presented is insufficient for that answer or direction to be taken. But biblically, discernment simply means the ability to see things from God's point of view. And if I can hold the definition before you of discernment, it would simply be this, in a very simplistic way, and that is the ability to see life through God's point of view. The ability when somebody comes to you with a difficult question or with a difficult situation, that you have the capacity not just to look in the natural, but to see from God's point of view. And then not only to see, but then to speak from God's point of view. That is what discernment is. Why do we need discernment? Well, there was an article not so long ago by a man called Dennis Hawk. And the title of that article was How to Seek Truth in Today's Culture. He says the following: if anything is certain for Christians today, is that we find ourselves living among people who do not share our deepest convictions and values. If we are to be faithful as Christians in such a pluralistic setting, we need to develop the skill of discernment. We need to have the ability to respond wisely to those who see things very differently than we do. Instead of merely reacting to the ideas, the values, and behaviors of non-Christians around us, the ability by God's grace to creatively chart a godly path through the maze of choices and options that confront us. Even when we are faced with situations and issues that aren't specifically mentioned in the scriptures. Why do we need discernment? Because we live in a world that is contrary to the Word of God. And we are faced with situations and events that is contrary to the will of God. And we sit in an environment where people are facing the consequences of those decisions and actions that is contrary to the will of God. And they are hostile to the will of God. And we need discernment how to skillfully navigate and present God's will in this world. Not so long ago, as a matter of fact, just this week, I was in South Africa at a meeting, and on my way back, you know, I don't know whether it's a cultural thing, but it's definitely a culture in our family that if I go away, I must bring back presents. And I'm fortunate I wasn't away too long, so they didn't need to be too big. But nevertheless, I had to buy presents. So, buying my wife a present, as I was about to pay, the lady at the counter said, because she knew that I was coming from England, and I'm going back to England and I'm living there, she knew I was South African, and she also knew that I'm going back there. So she suggested, well, why didn't you claim back the tax? Because she also knew that I had a British passport, as well as a South African passport. So she suggested, why didn't you just claim back the tax? And immediately there, I am confronted with the situation, which is a very simple one. Should I pay tax? Should I pay tax? Now, that's very clear from our scripture, that you pay your taxes. So I told her, no, it's okay. I'll just pay my tax. But then she persisted and she continued. But why do you want to do that? I mean, you have the opportunity not to do that. And then immediately, because of that conversation, one could say it's not just simply discerning what is right or wrong, but it's also discerning where the individual that I am dealing with is at spiritually. Where is he at? But then it goes beyond that, because it's one thing to discern that obviously this lady, in which direction she is walking life. Then where I really need a discernment is, how am I going to react here? Am I just going to smile and say thank you very much and walk out? Or am I actually going to try and impart something into her life that will hopefully change the course in which she is? You see, because many times in the natural, you know, it's very easy when we're confronted with challenges of this world to relate to it in a natural way. In other words, you know, you either have a very scientific cultural answer or you actually just avoid the issue. That's a very natural response. You know, you either have something to add or you don't have something to add. Sometimes it's better just to walk away. But you know what? As a Christian, not as a pastor, but as a Christian, I'm meeting with another Christian that is going on the wrong way. And I have an opportunity here to impart something, or a choice, not an opportunity, a choice. So if I choose to do something, at that very point is when I need a sermon. I need to know what to say and how to say in such a way that it will impact a life and hopefully change the course in which he is. Because obviously for her, not to pay tax is not an issue. It's not just not an issue for her personally. She actually encourages others to do the same. So all that I'm trying to come back, the sermon is actually something that I've noticed. It's not something that you just kind of need as an average man or woman in the workplace. But the moment you operate as a Christian in this world, it is at that moment that you need the sermon. Because it's that moment that you have the choice to actually impart eternity in people's lives. It's like whether I'm going to say nothing or engage as a Christian, whether I'm standing here in this shop as a man, or whether I'm standing here in the office of a Christian. And the moment I stand in the office, the moment I operate in the office of a Christian, it is at that moment that I need the sermon, how to operate. And I guess that's the difference between skills versus discernment. Because so many times in our secular careers, as an accountant, as a builder, as a, I don't know, you can name whatever field you may find yourself, you can summarize the situation due to the skills that you have acquired in your field. I mean, a doctor can assess a patient and build on or in regards to his understanding and skills over the years, he can make an assessment of the situation, which is very much dependent on his skills and his experience. But you know what? The moment you stand in the office of a Christian, there is something supernatural that you need. And that is called discernment. And that relates to the will of God and not to skills. Like in the example of an accountant, it would mean it relates not to my ability to solve the numerical problem, but it involves my ability to relate the will of God in a person's life. There's a big difference between the two. So I don't want us to be confused. Discernment is not something that you use like in the natural sphere only. It actually goes beyond that. It's when you start to impart eternity in people around you. That is what discernment is. It's not magic in the workplace. Okay? It's not an ability that God gives you so that you can become a better accountant. If you're following what I'm saying. However, the application of discernment, because in all careers we deal with persons and people, it will have an effect on the people around you, which can indirectly have an effect, obviously, on your career. I mean, if you are a teacher and you deal with lots of people, exercising of his discernment will cause an effect on the people around you, and that might promote you as a teacher. But the reason why I'm saying that discernment is not the magic that God gives us to be more successful in our careers. It is the ability to see and to act according to the will of God in this world. Okay, so you're still with me? You're still following where I'm going? Okay, great. But the two can combine. Right. For instance, the example of, there's many examples in the Old, but let's start with Solomon. Solomon, the son of David. He was appointed king. A young man appointed king to rule. There was a secular sphere and there was a spiritual sphere. All right? But he understood that, listen here, I in myself am not capable in the natural to deal what God is calling me. So he asks God, he prays to God, and he says the following: your servant is here among the people that you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or to number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? And then we know in the next verse, the Lord was pleased that Solomon asked him this. You see, Solomon came to God. He says, listen here, God, I don't need riches. I don't need fame. I don't need wealth. I don't need power. I need discernment. Because I realize this is your people. And I need the ability to be able to distinguish between good and evil. New King James says good and evil. Discernment, the ability to distinguish between good and evil. As a matter of fact, throughout the scripture, most times you get the word discernment, it is connected with the ability to distinguish between good and evil. It's not the ability to foretell the future. It's not wisdom, it's not knowledge, but it is the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. And it's about this that I want to talk about. The ability to distinguish between right and wrong. Because life is challenging in many aspects and many spheres because we know in part. We are faced with many situations throughout our lives. And because we know in part, it is challenging. What is the right decision? What is the right thing to do? What is the right words to speak? What is the right direction and the acts that I need to take in this world, in this life today? Today in my workplace, when I'm confronted with options and people, what are the right choices to make in light of eternity? Not in light of my career, but in light of life and death, good and evil, cursing and blessing, eternity. I need to be able, as a Christian, to discern between right and wrong in every aspect of my life. Because how I live my life here has impact on eternity. And I've shared a lot about God's perspective on life. So discernment is distinguishing between good and evil. Now, Solomon had a head start on today's world. And then he realized there's only two options in life. There's only two paths. There is good, and then there's evil. There is blessing, and then there's curse. And he understood that, listen, this is of very importance, of utmost importance, that in governing this people of God, I govern and I lead them and myself to the blessing, to the good, and not to the opposite. So discernment is aligning one's life with God's truth and not what the world may say. That is the first distinction. If you want to know what is discernment, it is aligning yourself with the truth of God and not what the world may say. They don't always contradict each other, but most of the time they do. The longer we live, the further apart the two goes. But the ability to interpret beyond what is seen and heard. Interpretation according to the word of God. In order that you may reap God's abundant life. Now, that's what I shared the previous times, if you've missed that. Is the very fact that God looks at humanity and life from eternity's perspective. And He looks at you and me to want to impart and invest in us so that to equip us to fulfill eternity, His purposes. And many times there's a contradiction because we as man relate to God through the natural and we want, you know, God's word to impart and to affect us here and now. But God relates to us in eternity. So when He speaks to us, His principles, His precepts, His commands, you know what? It is not just for this life. It is for eternity also. It has application here. It has benefit here. But primarily, it's focused on eternity. But the way I live my life here will depend where I spend eternity. So that is why discernment is so important. Discernment is not specifically for this life only. It is its focus on eternity. So according or interpretation according to the will of God in this world, in order that we may reap God's abundant life. In Isaiah 14, verse 9, we say, who is wise? And he will realize these things. Who is discerning? And he will understand them. that the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. Goed, so I want to move on to the next point. How do we get discernment? Now, first of all, there's examples in Scripture that we see that discernment was given by God to man. Okay? The ability to discern right from wrong. Obviously, we mentioned Solomon. God responded, the next verse, to Solomon's request for discernment. And so God said to him, since you have asked this, and not a long life or wealth for yourself, but you've asked, and you have not asked death of your enemies, but for discernment in administrating justice, I will do what you have asked, and I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never be, have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, that you may have in your lifetime. You will have no one equal among the kings. That's one example of God giving discernment. Then we have another example of somebody that is very wise and well known in Scripture, the man called Joseph. Remember Joseph, who was thrown into the pit by his brothers, sold as a slave, and ended up as the prime minister of Egypt, just under the Pharaoh. And what happened there? Can you remember the story? How did he rise from being a servant in prison, a prisoner, to become the prime minister? Through the interpretation of a dream. Who gave him the interpretation, the discernment? God gave him the discernment. And this is how Pharaoh responds. This is how he responded to Joseph. And he said the following. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man? One in whom the Spirit of God is. And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your own orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. But you see, again, very interestingly, even the Pharaoh acknowledged that, listen, yeah, this ability that you have to discern right from wrong and the ability to interpret what cannot be seen and what cannot be heard, you know what? This is of God. And that I want in my kingdom. So the two can go both in. And of course, then we have the example of Daniel. And again, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Who gave Daniel the ability to interpret? God. And this is what Daniel says. He makes it very clear. He says, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes the times and the seasons. He sets up kings and disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in the darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we have asked of you. And you have made known to us the dream of the king. So again, Daniel makes it very clear that this ability of mine is of God. As a matter of fact, he makes it very clear that I asked you, Lord, and you responded. So I want to put the emphasis here that discernment is not something that you acquire based on your own ability or training in the natural. It is something that God imparts to you. But I also want to add, it is not just something that is supernaturally empowered unto us. There is a role that we can play to develop this discernment in us. And that is what I want to look at a little bit further. Here in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 to 14, we read the following. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need somebody to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who have by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see, there we have that concept again, discerning, distinguishing between good and evil. Now, in context of what I've shared in the past, we looked at the Word of God and we looked at the promises of God. It's unchanging. But the way man relates to the Word of God will determine whether the promises of God are fulfilled in our life. So we were focusing on the very fact that it is the application of the Word of God that produces life, not the knowledge of the Word of God, but the application of the Word of God that produces in us. This is what this portion of Scripture is saying, exactly the same thing concerning discernment. It says, those that only know the Word of God, you know, they're still babes. But if you want to grow up into maturity, you must actually, by use of your senses, apply the Word of God in yourself, and that will develop in you discernment. So there's two sides of discernment. There is the impartation of God, and then there is our application of the Word of God in our lives that will develop discernment in us. Which, by the way, is one of the standards of measuring maturity. Discernment. Now, what is even more interesting, I love the wisdom of God, how He chose the Jewish nation to reveal Himself through their culture, and then how He chose to spread His word throughout the world through the Greek language. Now, there's some of us that's Greek here. Where are you? There we go. You can be proud of your heritage. It's a lovely language. You speak Greek? Okay. It's far more expressive and colorful than our bland English. And God chose specifically to communicate through these two cultures. The culture and, in the New Testament, the language. Now, if you study the work discern, it's amazing what you will discover. The Greek word for discernment is, I hope I pronounce it correct, is diakaris. All right? And literally it means distinguishing, discerning, or judging. Now, it means we need to distinguish, discern, and judge. What? We need to distinguish what is God's word and will and what is not. That is the first premise of the concept of discerning. We need to be able to distinguish in life what is the will of God and what is not. That's the first premise. Then if you look at the first part of this word, dia, it literally means the ground or reason by which something is or is not done. In other words, what is the grounds on which you do something? So, what are the grounds or the reason in which we do something in a biblical context? The Word of God. The ground in which you act or do not act, the reason why you act or you do not act, is the Word of God. Then the second part of the word, the root, is krino, which simply means to separate, to pick up, to select, to choose, and also to approve, to esteem, and to prefer. Now, I don't know if you're still following me, but let me put it together. What the Greek word is saying. It's saying the following. It's quite amazing. It says, picking out that what you esteem the most. Discernment is picking, it starts off with picking out that which you esteem the most. In other words, the Word of God. In other words, you will be confronted in this life with many philosophies and theories and cultures and principles, but you need to pick out for yourself what you esteem the most. And that should be the Word of God. And that should be the ground on which you act or you do not act. So discernment starts off with the process of you and me decide for ourselves that, you know what? The Word of God is what I esteem more than anything else in this world. And it's based on that Word of God that I esteem more valuable than the philosophies and the theories of the world. It's based on that Word of God that I will make my decisions. Whether I will act or not. Whether I will speak or not. Whether I will do this or whether I'll do that. That is discernment. That is where discernment starts. Discernment is far more than this supernatural ability that God endows on you in the moment of conversation. It is something that can be developed in your life. Because so many of us have been in difficult situations and have been in difficult conversations as Christians. Not in our career, but as Christians. And it is those moments that we find ourselves at loss because we do not know what to say. Or we do not know what to do. And what we're at loss of is something called discernment, which is something that can be developed in us through esteeming the Word of God higher than anything else and using that as the ground to do or not to do. And according to Scripture, the more that I do that, it increases in me the ability to see from God's point of view. See, everything in the Word of God is actually very simple. Even the difficult concepts. It simply starts with the premise of the Word of God. My value of the Word of God. And my exercising of that Word of God in my life. Which will develop in me the ability to discern God's view in any given situation. It starts off with the Word of God. And the reason I'm sharing this in context of everything else I want to share, I want to say how precious is the Word of God in our lives. In the context of what I shared, that the Word of God is alive and active. And it is the power of God in our lives. It is the ability to produce life in us through the application of it. It even gives us the ability to discern what to do and what not to do. It has the ability to direct us. Proverbs 2, from verse 2 to 5, we read, the heart of Solomon to his child, he says, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek it as silver, search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It needs to be sought after, searched for, desired. Like you would search for a hidden treasure. And what it will produce in you is the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. And that will set you apart above all men and women that do not know him. That is what's the distinguishing factor in Solomon's life, in Joseph's life, in Daniel's life. And it was recognized. It was recognized. They did not confront the challenges with the world's strategies. They did not confront the challenges with the cultural strategies. No. They approach it from God's point of view. And it not just changed their life, it changed nations. The Word of God in your life. The end of the sermon is the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. Discernment. This morning I shared concerning the Word of God. Not just that it's alive and active, but that it has a purpose beyond itself. A purpose beyond declaring the truth. And that purpose is to produce life. But eternal life. Not just life here. life eternally, because where God comes from is eternity. And what He wants to prepare and impart in us is that what will last us for eternity. But how we live our life here and the decisions and the directions that we make will determine how we're going to spend eternity with Him. In which capacity? How many cities are we going to rule? Or whether we're just going to sing in the mass choir, if there is one. The Word of God. The lamp unto my feet. The one that directs my life. I want to conclude with this last scripture. In Isaiah 55. I have the New King James here, but let me read there. So I don't have it here. The invitation of God. Come all, you are thirsty. Come to the waters. And you who do have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread? And why your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest affair. Come, give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, like my faithful love promised to David. See, I've made him a witness to the people, a leader and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summons nations you know not, and nations that you do not know will hasten to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he may be near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. And then this powerful part, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes from out my mouth. It will not return empty to me, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I'm just going to pause here again. I shared it this morning and I shared it last time, but I want to emphasize it again. God is saying, my thoughts and my ways are not yours. They are not your thoughts. They are not your ways. They are far removed. As a matter of fact, as far as the heaven is from the earth, so far removed is my ways and my thoughts. But in the same way, as I send rain from heaven to come down to nourish and to accomplish life on earth, in the same way, even though there's this great void, distinction, gap, in the same way, I send my word. I send it down. Not just to water the earth for the sake of watering the earth, but to actually produce in it life. So too, my word is going to produce life in you. And you know what? You might not understand it. You might not see where it's going. Because you know what? My thoughts and ways are different to yours. You're living in this temporal space of time and you think that's what life is all about. Where I'm coming from, I see eternity. And you know what? That is not what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on eternity. Yes, I want you to be prosperous. I want you to be blessed. I want you to know me in this space of time. But you know what? Ultimately, I'm praying you for eternity. And that's why I'm sending you my word, because your ways and thoughts are not mine. And you need it so that you can have the life that I purpose. And it will not return void to me. In other words, if you take hold of it, if you apply it in your life, it will produce its purpose. It will produce in you. The Word of God. The Word of God. God is eternal. God is all-knowing, all-powerful, the creator of the universe, sees the beginning from the end, knows all things, sustains all things, the Word of God. I apply it, whether it's contrary to this world or not, because of who He is. And God does not change. Amen? The Word of God.